Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what I was going to talk about first, I was going to talk about the Biden administration's kind of increasingly shrill effort to promise you all sorts of free stuff if you'll just support their big spending bill. And we are going to talk about that. But I decided that first I wanted to talk about something that absolutely just came out, just saw it, and it's really, really interesting. And it is a new poll of young people in the United States done by the Harvard Institute of Politics, talked to more than 2,000 Americans ages 18 to 29. Now, it asked them a lot of questions about political issues, what's important to them, what their views in life are, do they get depressed, all sorts of other things like that. But I think the most interesting result came in response to a very broad and interesting question. And this was the question: which of the following phrases best describes the United States today? I'm going to list the phrases here. A healthy democracy, a somewhat functioning democracy, a democracy in trouble, a failed democracy, or don't know. So you had all those choices. You could say the U.S. is either a healthy democracy, a somewhat functioning democracy, a democracy in trouble, a failed democracy, or don't know. Now, the interesting thing is a lot of young people describe the United States as a failed democracy or a democracy in trouble. Overall, 13% of those surveyed describe the U.S. as a failed democracy, just failed, what, Libya? Like, I mean, it's just amazing. And 39% call the country a democracy in trouble. Okay, so that's 52% said that the United States is either a failed democracy or a democracy in trouble. Now, just 7%, by the way, said the United States is a healthy democracy, while 27% called it a somewhat functioning democracy. You put that together, that's 34%. While 52% said that democracy is either failed or in trouble. If you're adding up, there's 13% who didn't know. Let's give them credit for honesty. Now, the interesting thing comes when you look a little more inside the numbers. Who is calling the United States a troubled democracy? Is it mostly lefty youth who are listening to lefty podcasts and lefty professors and their parents are watching Rachel Maddow and everybody votes for Democrats? Is that who it is? Or is it mostly young people on the right, Republicans who voted to reelect President Trump in 2020? The answer is, it's Republicans. Harvard provided a detailed breakdown of the survey. Again, 2,109 people nationwide. That's a lot of people, pretty big survey. And Republicans who voted for Donald Trump were much more likely than Democrats who voted for Joe Biden to call the United States a troubled democracy. Just 9% of young Biden voters called the U.S. a failed democracy, while 22% of young Trump voters did. So let's say that one again. Biden voters, 9% called the U.S. a failed democracy. Trump voters, 22% called the U.S. a failed democracy. Now, Biden voters, 41% said the United States was a democracy in trouble. Okay? For Trump voters, 53%. So, 41% of Biden voters say U.S. democracy in trouble. 53% Trump voters say the same thing. Now, those are people who were divided by who they voted for, or categorized by who they voted for. Republicans and Democrats is a very slightly different category, including Republicans who did not support Trump or Democrats who did not support Biden. There were actually quite a few Bernie Democrats, especially in the young. So if you look at the figures for the parties overall, okay, they're still, Republicans are still more negative on the state of democracy. Among all Republicans, 23% said the U.S. is a failed democracy versus just 8% of Democrats. 8% of Democrats, 23% of Republicans. 47% of young Republicans said democracy in trouble, 37% of young Democrats. So 47 to 37%. So you add these things up, and the bottom line is that 70% of young Republicans and 75% of young Trump voters say American democracy is in bad shape versus 45% of Democrats and 50% of Biden voters. Now, those are still pretty big numbers. Even the Democrats are pretty big numbers. But you have 75% of young Trump voters saying the United States democracy is either a failed democracy or a troubled democracy. So, what accounts for that? These are really big numbers. I don't think anybody should be shocked by this. And all you have to do is look around. Young Democrats are constantly hearing from their party leaders, not just, you know, this guy or that guy, from their party leaders, that democracy is under siege, that Republicans are plotting to undermine democracy, and that Stacey Abrams is a party heroine. She's a hero. You know, I think hero just sounds better. She's a party hero. Okay? And how could they not think that democracy is in trouble? They're hearing it all the time. I don't know if many of you listen to CNN or MSNBC. You probably don't. But if you do, I mean, you hear it all the time. You hear Democrats and liberals saying the United States is a troubled democracy and the Republicans are plotting to undermine the democracy. Now, as far as young Republicans are hearing from former President Trump that the 2020 election was rigged and that no future elections can be fair unless they stop the steal. That's what they're hearing from President Trump. So is it any surprise that a lot of young people think the United States democracy is in bad shape? I mean, maybe the amazing thing is that 7% of young people believe the United States is a healthy democracy, and 27% say that it's at least somewhat functioning. Now, here's my position on this. Those people, the 7% who say it's healthy, or the 27% who say it's somewhat functioning, they're the ones who are correct. The past few years have indeed been rocky politically. I think that's the understatement of the year. And that is what most of America's young people have experienced firsthand. I mean, people don't remember the 1930s or the 1960s or crime in the 1980s. I mean, they're young people. They don't remember things that happened in an older person's lifetime or in history. So that's what they have experienced. But the fact is, let's just look at the facts here. Republicans are not plotting to undermine democracy. And looking from the other side, the 2020 election was not stolen. Now, partisans, of course, are upset and angry that their candidate or their cause did not prevail. Republicans upset that Donald Trump did not win. Democrats upset. I have to tell you, I can't quite understand this, but they cannot pass their voting legislation with just 50 votes in the Senate. So they're upset. They're frustrated. But being upset and frustrated, not being able to pass a bill you want, or having the election go the other way, does not mean that democracy is failed. It means you lost. You might win the next time. So of course they're upset. Of course, they're angry. But, you know, major elections are coming up next year, less than a year from now, major elections all across the country. And then, of course, again in 2024. And there are immense preparations already underway for both of those. The United States is a highly functioning democracy, no matter what these young people think. So it's an extraordinary poll. We'll put a link to it so you can take a look at it. But, it's really, really interesting to see what young people are saying about the state of democracy in the United States and to try to figure out why they have such an overly negative view when, in fact, the facts do not support that. Okay, so that's the story on this Harvard poll. Now, what I was originally going to talk about first today was the Biden administration's increasingly shrill efforts to sell this multi-trillion dollar bill, you know, the Build Back Better bill. And they're desperately, desperately trying to get it through Congress, even though they do not control a majority of seats in the United States Senate, which is always their their problem here. And what they're doing is they're increasingly promising free stuff. Now, go back to the 2020 Democratic presidential primary campaign. It was essentially a bidding war in which each candidate pledged to spend trillions of taxpayer dollars beyond what is needed to run the country, ostensibly to rebuild the nation after the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Joe Biden won the bidding war, and so far he has signed a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that really doesn't have anything to do with COVID relief, and a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that goes way beyond the traditional definition of infrastructure. So now, here we come to this Build Back Better bill, the BBB, and they're trying to convince the American people that on top of all that spending I just described, we must approve yet another massive spending bill, maybe $1.2 trillion, maybe $2 trillion, that will somehow build back better after the pandemic, even though the pandemic is most certainly not over. Now, many Americans are concerned about this orgy of spending. They fear particularly that pumping so much extra money into the economy will feed inflation. Obviously, inflation is the nation's number one economic concern right now. And by pouring all that more money into the economy, Democrats are going to feed it. They're not going to restrain it. They're going to feed it. So, you remember a few weeks ago, Joe Biden came up with an argument that essentially said nobody should worry because it's all going to be free. I'm going to quote a tweet from the president. He said, "My Build Back Better agenda costs $0. He tweeted that on September 25th. And White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, who's always on message, said that, quote, "the net cost of Build Back Better is zero." Nancy Pelosi is on board too, of course. She said the dollar amount, as the president said, is zero. Now, that's all entirely preposterous. $2 trillion doesn't just appear out of the air. So when Biden was asked questions about this, he explained that he meant the bill was, quote, "fully paid for by higher taxes on some Americans." Now, that's the opposite of something costing $0. But even that was not true, the fully paid for part, when the Congressional Budget Office estimated that Build Back Better is not fully paid for, but would in fact add $367 billion to the national debt over the next decade. Now, that's the whole the bill is free, net cost zero argument, and Republicans had a lot of fun making fun of that and mocking that, and it was all deserved on the Democratic side. But what we have now is another try, and it involves the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg. You know, you've been hearing a lot about Buttigieg lately. There's all this buzz on the Democratic side that because Joe Biden is too old to be president and because there's are significant worries, concerns, hopes, whatever, that he will not run for re-election in 2024, that Pete Buttigieg, who did run in 2020, he was only 39 at the time, will run to replace Biden. Anyway, Pete Buttigieg is taking the lead in this, and he is trying to tell people that if they buy an electric car and receive a huge government subsidy, then they'll be able to drive for free. For weeks, Buttigieg has been touting the bill. And, you know, Build Back Better has so much stuff in it that you can't even imagine everything that's in it. We've talked sometimes about the immigration proposals that have absolutely nothing to do with building back better after the pandemic. And one of the things that is in it is are huge subsidies for purchasers of electric cars, or EVs, electric vehicles, as he calls them. So on November the 1st, Buttigieg tweeted, "The Build Back Better package includes tax incentives to help purchase an EV. How would you use a discount of up to $12,500 toward an electric vehicle?" A discount? Wow, they're going to take $12,500 off the price of this, I don't know, Chevy Volt or Tesla, you buy a Tesla, you get $12,500 off the price. No, it's not a discount. It is a government subsidy. The government is giving you money with which to buy the car. Here's the big pitch. Those who take advantage of the government's big handout, this is all according to Pete Buttigieg, would, quote, never have to worry about gas prices again. The subsidized cars would bestow the greatest benefit on rural Americans who drive long distances and urban residents that pay really high gas prices, and nobody would have to worry about high gas prices again. It's just, it would be fantastic. The government's going to pay for you to buy an electric car, and then you're not going to have to worry about the cost of driving. So the problem, of course, is that cars have to run on something. Electric cars run on electricity, and electricity is not free. Now, this is the kind of the punchline of all this, is that while the Biden administration encourages Americans, subsidizes Americans buying electric cars, it's also pushing policies that would raise the cost of electricity. Now, I'm going to read a little bit from a man named Doug Holtz-Eakin. Longtime Republican economist, was the head of the Congressional Budget Office at one point and has served in Republican administrations and is generally well-recognized as a Republican economic expert. So I'm going to read what he says about this Buttigieg plan. Quote, the administration's plans for, quote, clean electricity by 2035 are really pricey. $2 trillion for generation, another $2 trillion for transmission, and an unknown price tag for distribution, but $1 trillion for the cost imposed on the distribution system by electric vehicles, solar panels. The bill is roughly $50 a week for consumers, which is in the same neighborhood as the gas cost that started this political firestorm. And this is Doug Holtz-Eakin again saying, it's the energy cost, Pete, not just gasoline. So if you hear the energy secretary, excuse me, the transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, say this, just remember, they're trying to get you to buy an electric car, but at the same time, they're going to raise the price of electricity. So when they say that it won't cost anything to drive, or you don't have to worry about gas prices, well, you may not have to worry about gas prices, but you'll have to worry about the price of electricity. The free stuff pitch is just fundamentally deceptive. So I'm going to close here. Americans are not stupid. They know there is a cost to everything. And they add up the cost of living and they make economic decisions every day. They do not need to be insulted by government officials telling them that the multi-trillion dollar wealth redistribution plans come without a cost, that the cost is zero, that it's fully paid for, it's free. They know better, no matter what the president or the transportation secretary or the rest of the administration says. So those are the two things I wanted to talk about today, this new extraordinary poll about young people and U.S. democracy, and this whole free stuff pitch from President Biden, Pete Buttigieg, and other administration officials. So thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In an attempt to divide America and Israel, leftists have spread hateful falsehoods about Israel and its right to self-defense. You deserve the truth. Hey, y'all. It's Sarah from The Sarah Carter Show. Israel has missiles flying over its head, yet the radical left is calling them racist, evil, and every other smear imaginable. It's disgusting. And on this week's Sarah Carter Show, we expose them for what they are. Anti-Semitic lies about our Jewish Jewish brothers and sisters. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on your favorite podcast app.